Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
And a pretty woman. Great song, great singer. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner and friend, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, June the 12th. Boy, do we have a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Neville Kramer. He's a security consultant. He formerly was an INS border agent. We're going to talk with Neville about Joe Biden's latest executive order that supposedly cuts back on illegal entries. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And Hunter Biden found guilty on all three charges of illegally buying a gun while being a drug addict. We will be talking all about the consequences and whether or not Papa Joe may pardon him. So stay tuned for that. And naughty Nancy Pelosi, she's caught on tape. She admits responsibility for not calling out the National Guard during the January 6th riot at the Capitol. We're going to give you the details. And in our ultimate top 10, you might like this one, Ed, the top 10 U.S. cities with the most affordable restaurants. Yes, stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works. We are sponsored by the best barbershop I have ever found in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin in the Overcast Plaza. It is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Great haircut, great price. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. I have used Arbor Life Tree Service. They are great. If you have any kind of a need involving trees, tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call Arbor Life today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, boy, we got a lot going on. Why don't we start out with the Hunter Biden verdict, which came in since our last program. And as you well know by now, Hunter Biden was found guilty on three counts, all three counts, actually, in his gun trial. First Son found guilty on the charges yesterday in his historic criminal case, focused on his purchase of a handgun in 2018. The Wilmington, Delaware jury deliberated for about 3 hours between Monday afternoon and yesterday morning, and then they came up with the verdict. A lot of people are surprised. I'll tell you the truth, I'm a somewhat, not shocked, that's too strong a word, but I'm somewhat surprised. I kind of thought the fix might be in, and jury nullification, which in this case means that one or two of the jurors were going to, no matter what the evidence was, were not going to find the guy guilty, and thereby nullifying the other 9 or 10. And that did not occur. They all found him guilty. He was found guilty of making a false statement in the purchase of a gun That's number one. Making a false statement related to information required to be kept by a federally licensed gun dealer. That's number two. And possession of a gun by a person who is an unlawful user or addicted to a controlled substance. That's number three. So let me ask Ed, because Ed is very fair-minded. Ed, if you were the judge, and the jury found a guy like Hunter Biden guilty, would you consider putting him in jail for any period of time?
No. House arrest. Look, the whole thing is that he lied about the whole situation. And I wasn't throwing my arms up and dancing when the guilty verdict came down, because it's really sad. And but on the other side, there were some networks that were crying, saying this is so bad for a parent to have to go through this. Well, kid lied, and he lied, and he's not 12, he's not 15, he's not 16, he's old enough to know better, and these are the consequences. And the thing is, I mean, he's not been in trouble, I believe, in the past. So
not yet.
Well, you can't punish him for upcoming crimes.
No.
So, I mean, house arrest or something like that.
I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I agree with you. First time offender at this point. Did he hurt anybody? Himself?
Yeah.
No. You put him under some sort of a probation or whatever the word is for a certain period of time. He's got to stay sober.
Yeah.
You threaten him if during this period of time he decides to go out and try to purchase a gun and he's addicted. And then we're going to bring you back in, and now we have warned you.
When it comes time to sentence, you have to remember there are consequences for saying, I'm not guilty of this. I demand a trial. He could have cut a deal and gotten something lower, admit that he did wrong and take care of it, but he wanted to drag it through the system and prove that he was wrong and that he lied. And so there is consequences for that.
I agree with that as well. And that's why the judge may give pause to whether or not he deserves to at least be considered for some jail time. Because if he had cut a fair deal, which, by the way, she decided when she looked at the deal they originally cut, mm-hmm. that he was trying to wriggle out of any kind of responsibility. She said, no, I don't think so. And they never did. So he decided, okay, then we're going to go to trial, and I'm pleading not guilty.
Even if it's something like a year in jail, you know Biden on his way out is going to pardon him. I mean, I would do it, too. It's your kid. It's been done in the past. It's done all the time. I mean, Clinton did it with his half-brother.
Oh, you're right,
you know,
about
a couple of days before they're out of office. He sneaks under the paperwork there.
President Biden said that he was never going to pardon his son. Don't you remember him saying that?
Well, he doesn't remember a lot of things. Yeah.
I tend to agree with that as well. There's another term he could use and get away with it and say, well, I'm going to commute his sentence.
Yeah, that's another
one. I'm going to commute. Yep. Not pardon him now. I'm going to commute. It's the same deal. He doesn't serve any time anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's the way that goes. All right. Hey, I'll tell you what. I cannot wait to talk with a good friend of ours, Neville Kramer. We're going to take a break. And when he comes back, Neville Kramer, a security consultant, he's formerly an INS border agent, going to talk with Neville about Joe Biden's latest executive order that supposedly, and I put quotes around supposedly, cuts back on illegal entries.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
For years, we've been telling you that Andrew's Master Barbershop is the premier men's barbershop in Tampa Bay. Tops in great haircuts, tops in price. Well, now that it's summertime, Andrew and the gang have brand new hours. They're now open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6. So give them a try, men. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north
of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, guys. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back this Wednesday, middle of the week. So nearly a week after President Joe Biden announced his executive action aimed at restricting asylum migrant numbers, these numbers, surprisingly, I'm not sure about surprisingly, they remain high, and officials on the front line say the legislation is not acting as a deterrent, and really not much has changed. Now, the proclamation supposedly bars migrants from being granted asylum when U.S. officials deem that the southern border is overwhelmed. Okay. The order goes into effect when the number of border encounters between ports of entry hit 2,500 per day. 2,500 per day. According to the latest data, there's not been a single day since the implementation where Border Patrol has encountered less than 2,500 migrants, exceeding that number by 1,000 nearly every day. So there you go. So I can't think of a better person to call in and discuss whether this thing is working or not than our buddy Neville Kramer. Neville Kramer is a security consultant. He was working the border down in Texas for many years, so he's got all kinds of background. Neville, welcome back to Freedom Works. What say you about Joe Biden's executive order?
Paul, great to be on the show. Good morning, Ed. I'd like to give you a one-word answer. That's no. it's not working. It's not going to work. It's totally political. Anybody, obviously, that works on the border and deals with these issues realizes that you start putting a number like 1,500 or 2,500 on anything before they start doing their work or stop doing their work is stupid. This is, you know, and I like the way they say that they're going to close the border. We've discussed this before. You know, closing the border is like, you know, let's empty the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, it's not going to happen. They don't know how to close the border. And what border are you talking about? You're talking about the people coming across the ports of entry, or the ones that the Border Patrol apprehend coming across illegally? Which border are you talking about? Anyway, before I go any further, I just want you to know that this is totally political, and you can tell because what's happened is that when they start interviewing these people on television who have come across the border, they're all saying now, no, I've come to get freedom. I've come to get work. I've come to, escape crime. I've come because I have family here. But they're not saying that I've come to apply for asylum because Biden said, you know, that those people aren't going to be allowed to stay anymore. So all that they do is they just tell the cartels basically what to tell these people, and just read the thing off the White
Absolutely
House
right.
website, and then all of a sudden these people by the thousands just change their tune. But they're here, and they're not going it.
First of all, how are they even able to determine how many people have actually come across the border?
I mean, is there some sort of connection with every border agent everywhere when people are crossing over the border? How do we keep even track of that? Nobody knows how many are actually coming through if we're honest about it. I don't think Biden... Well, I'm not sure that Biden even realizes the formula. I think he was reading it off of a teleprompter. But somebody in the back room came up with this formula. And there are so many buys or passes or whatever as to certain people that can come across that aren't even supposed to be counted in this number that I think everybody would that has any knowledge of this realizes it is a total joke.
Well, that's the trouble. As you said, the magic words, the people that have any knowledge of this, most of the American public has no knowledge
that's true.
Of this. But I will say this. Whenever futuristically they start talking about immigration numbers, remember that there's three things that they use to count. Number one is the ones that the Border Patrol either apprehend or encounter. Those are processed. They get their names, they get their fingerprint, their photographs, etc. They're processed. Then there's the gotaways. These are the people that are seen or registered basically by sensors in the ground or by cameras, but they're not apprehended. They're seen, and they can count those. And then there's the others, okay, that come in. They're not detected. They don't cross at places that are censored. Their pictures are not taken. They're not apprehended by the Border Patrol. And they just come in. They come in at Port St. Lucie, Florida, on a boat, 15 or 20 of them from Haiti. They land. They climb off the boat. They're here illegally. They come across the U.S.-Mexico border at a place which isn't secured. And there's hundreds of those. We don't count those, so your point is exactly right. How many are here? Who knows? It's millions more than what they're suggesting.
And they're suggesting, the numbers I hear are 10 to 12 million, which is, of course, it might be an exaggeration, but do you think it's anywhere close to 10 to 12 million?
Paul, it's not 10 to 12 million. It's 10 to 12 million since Biden has become president. But when I wrote the book back in 2008, we were working with a figure of 12 million.
Really?
So what happened to those 12 million? They just disappeared? They're still here.
By the way,
there's
I want to...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, finish your thought.
We're looking at 25, 30 million illegals.
Oh, my
right
God.
Here.
Oh, my
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely.
We're talking the size of almost the state of Florida.
Yeah, if not more, by the way.
I want to, by the way, mention your book is Immigration Chaos. It's a great book. It was written several years back. It may still be available. Look up, type in on Google Immigration Chaos and Neville Kramer and see if you can locate that. It's a great book. It's a great book. This is what I was thinking while you were talking, Neville. If I could think of any lack of action or whatever you want to call it that our government has ever done to completely thumb its nose at a known responsibility, that a known constitutional responsibility, it's allowing all of these people to come across our borders without being vetted, with intentionally allowing them to come across without trying to stop them. It's a complete It's a complete dereliction of duty.
Well, just know that I've said this before many times, but people have to understand that the entire immigration system of the United States is in a state of collapse. Okay, it's in chaos, and it's getting worse. I'll give you a good example. We don't know about these eight guys that came in from Tajikistan. I did counterterrorism training in Tajikistan several years ago in Dushanbe. And I can tell you, there's a lot of people running around that country and a lot of that parts of the world that would love to come to the United States and seriously harm America. They're not real great lovers of us. So what the only problem is that it's not just the border, and it's not just illegal immigrants coming in here trying to get a job. Okay, this whole system is in a state of collapse, and we're going to get hurt by it as we did in 9/11. The American public is going to have to come to grips with it. And when you come to grips with it, it's going to take a very serious action in a big way, like Trump is threatening mass deportation. Well, that sounds like something out of, you know, Nazi Germany or something. But in fact, that's what we're going to end up having to do. Draconian actions are going to be required to fix this thing if they don't do it. And H.R. 2, by the way, the legislation of the Republicans, is part of the solution, but it's nowhere near a total fix of this problem.
Yes, indeed. I want to, and you brought up the Tajikistan. I want to let our listeners know, 8 Tajikistan nationals with ties to ISIS were busted by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement in conjunction with the FBI's investigation and their Joint Terrorism Task Force in 3 major cities. The arrests took place in New York City, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia. All 8 nationals crossed the U.S. southern border illegally, and according to a federal source familiar with the sting operation, no derogatory information was initially flagged with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection or with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Sources said that after the suspected terrorists were released into the U.S., derogatory information was flagged with national security concerns, including their ties to ISIS. Now, you and Christopher Wray are echoing the same thing. It's inevitable that something bad is going to happen because of this. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. So we're all sitting here kind of waiting for something bad to happen. And then you mentioned H.R. 2, something that the Senate would not take up. It was the House resolution, which was at least, it seemed like, some comprehensive approach to cutting back on the number of people that were crossing the border. Neville Cramer, why are the Democrats so opposed to any kind of comprehensive security in our country, in your opinion?
Has to do with votes, mostly. But there's other forces at work today now that, George Soros's people and these very wealthy organizations that want to change the way we live, Paul. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. They're tired of our democracy, they're tired of our capitalism, and they're going to fix it by simply turning this into the third world. They're on their way.
Do you think that our own Congress, our own Senate, the guys running the Senate, the Chuck Schumers, who are, you know, the Senate majority leader, and others, are intentionally doing this because they want to undermine our constitutional culture, our way of living, our independence, our personal responsibility, our capitalistic society that's been so successful for so long? Do you think that these people are intentionally trying to undermine that concept?
I think there are some, yeah. I think there are some, and if, unfortunately, in a democracy, if they become the majority, then that's what rules. And they're working on making their beliefs the majority's beliefs, and that's where we run into the problem.
Yeah.
And that's that. It's just a democracy that is going to end up maybe destroying itself because of its own freedoms that it promotes. You talk about Chuck Schumer. I mean, you talk about a guy that's a hypocrite. I mean, forget about it. And his staff basically threatened me when I was working as an agent. I mean, they said that under no circumstances would there ever be E-Verify mandatory in the United States for any employer. And that was back in the 80s. And he's now a very powerful guy in the Senate. He's the Senate Majority Leader. E-Verify has never been, you know, a mandated program. And it is critical. Anybody that studies immigration reform knows that in the interior of the United States, we need that as one of the programs to prevent people from coming in and getting jobs. That's a very simple statement, but it's true.
You've been talking about E-Verify ever since I've known you. Would you mind, I've asked this before, would you mind explaining it to the listener? What is E-Verify?
In 1986, we passed the Immigration Reform and Control Act, and it mandated that every single employer in the United States, or almost every single employee in the United States, complete what's known as a Form I-9. and the information on the I-9 shows your social security number, your green card number, your driver's license, whatever it is, and it shows a list on the back that says, if you have these documents, you have the right to work in the United States. If you do not have these documents, well, what happened was is that the counterfeiters came out of the woodwork, and they began making counterfeit documents, and we knew this in 1986. So we began to establish a verification system that was automated, much the same as you walk into a Walmart, you give them your credit card, your Visa card. They don't just accept your Visa card. They have to verify it through an automated system before they give you the product. So it's that simple. What we wanted to do is build a verification system to take the employers off the hook. You either present the document that's verified and is valid, or you don't get the job. It's quite a simple system, and Chuck Schumer and the Democrats, and in fact the Chamber of Commerce, the Republicans, said absolutely, positively not. We can't have that. And for those of us that were working on it, and those of us who built it, we said why? And you know what the answer was? Because it will work. We don't want it to work.
And you know, I used to work for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I'm ashamed to say that when they wouldn't want something like E-Verify to make sure that the people that are coming in are properly registered. A final question to you, Neville. You know, time goes so quickly when I'm talking with you because I'm so interested in what you have to say. Final question, though. If Donald Trump becomes the president in November, he has said that we need to round up every single illegal and their families and their kids, etc., and deport them. A, do you think he would really do that? B, is that what you think we really need to do?
A, no. I'm not in favor of it. I'm in favor of deportation. But you're not going to end up rounding up kids and moms and dads because the American public are going to do something to Congress and say, look, put a stop to this. And even he probably isn't going to do that. Now, I'm not saying that he's promoting bad policy, but the policy should be more limited to say we are going to deport people from the United States who are determined to be deportable and who we don't want here. And as far as whether, you know, because that's, as I mentioned, that's draconian. We don't want to get to that level where we're knocking on people's doors at 3 a.m. and dragging them out of their house and putting them on an airplane. Some people may jokingly say, well, if they're illegally here, go ahead and do it. No, you haven't been an agent at 3 o'clock in the morning knocking on those doors, and you don't know what's on the other side, whether it's an AK-47 or a 9mm or whatever it is. So be careful about how you advocate these dragging people out of their homes and putting them on airplanes. But deportation, yeah, and we may end up deporting millions of people, but do it correctly and do it with humanity. And if Trump promotes that, yeah, I think we're going to end up having to do that.
You know what's wrong with you, Neville? You make too much sense.
Well, I don't know. I may be trying to go to work for this administration if it changes. So let's keep my fingers crossed.
I'll tell you what, we need you. We need you. We need you desperately. I'm not kidding about that. Neville Kramer, it's always a pleasure. You're one of our dear buddies, and I always look forward to talking with you.
You bet, Paul. And I hope we'll do it again soon.
We will.
And have a great week, guys.
Thanks, Neville.
Yep. Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Neville Kramer. There you go. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, naughty Nancy Pelosi is caught on tape admitting responsibility for not calling out the National Guard during the January 6th riot at the Capitol. We are going to give you the details.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For years, we've been telling you that Andrew's Master Barbershop is the premier men's barbershop in Tampa Bay. Tops in great haircuts, tops in price. Well, now that it's summertime, Andrew and the gang have brand new hours. They're now open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6. So give them a try, men. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, guys. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, I like that music. Ed, you always come up with some great lead-in music. I appreciate that. And Nancy, naughty Nancy Pelosi, got to talk about her. A previously unreleased video taken on January the 6th, 2021, shows then-Speaker Pelosi saying she takes responsibility for the lack of preparedness when a mob stormed the U.S. Capitol that day. Now, the video shows Pelosi being evacuated from the Capitol while in talks with her chief of staff, a woman by the name of Terry McAuliffe, about how the evacuation was conducted. She says on the tape, "We have responsibility, Terry. We did not have an accountability for what was going on there, and we should have. This is ridiculous. You're going to ask me in the middle of the thing, when they've already breached, that we should call the Capitol Police? I mean, the National Guard? Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?" Now, she's saying that to her assistant when she's saying this. Her aide appeared to reply that Capitol Security did believe that they were prepared, to which Pelosi says they clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepared for more.
Now, that backs up what Trump said, that Trump told her to have extra security there, the National Guard or the Capitol Police, just in case. She canceled it.
There you go. And she's just saying it on tape. Then Pelosi appears to take a shot at Trump's supporters who were running around inside the Capitol building. She says, it's stupid that we should be in a situation like this because they thought they had what they thought these people would act civilized. They thought these people would give a damn. What is it that is missing here in terms of anticipation? They give us a piece of paper that says walk through the tunnel and don't walk outside. That's your preparation.
Yeah, and remember, there was a bunch of people that were arrested, thrown in jail for standing up for their country outside. Outside. I'm not talking about inside. Outside. Yet there are people today that are saying death to America and marching in the streets.
Oh, of course.
And nothing is happening.
And if you remember, and again, these were Yahoos, in my opinion, that broke into the Capitol.
Yes, I believe they were planted.
Well, whether they were planted or not, nobody got hurt by them when they walked in. Everybody wants to say they were out beating up people inside. No, they weren't. They were wandering around aimlessly. Do you remember? They were carrying
flags.
There were
people taking photos.
They were taking photos. They were chatting with the Capitol Police that were inside the building. But the Democrats, they were so gleeful that this occurred. Because now they had something they could pin on conservatives and on Trump supporters. They were so gleeful. Now, we have the master barber with us, Andrew Ceresi. We've talked about this over and over again, Andrew. I don't know. Do you want to talk a little bit about what Nancy had to say, or do you want to talk a little bit about Hunter Biden? What say you, my friend?
Oh.
Charges. Because, you know, there was nothing but a diversion, Paul. They brought these charges, the gun charges against. I want the charges with Burisma, with the China, with the old man. Okay, the Russia oligarch gave him $3.5 million. This gun charge was nothing but a diversion to get people away from the charges they should be brought against them.
There are these tax charges that are looming, which are much more dangerous for both Hunter and his father, because when you start talking about evading taxes. It goes to some of that money that our friend Hunter was importing from overseas. He and his uncle, and that found their way into those, what do you call them, LLCs or whatever those...
All 80 of them, whatever they are.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's where the real danger for Hunter and his father, and of course, the uncle, you know, Uncle James, all of those guys.
Those are the ones that should have been handled before the gun charges, Paul.
Okay.
Especially with an election year going on. That was all bogus, a bunch of crap. That was just to say that, look at this, the justice system is equal against the former president and my son. They're so full of crap, it's unbelievable.
By the way, wasn't it rather ironic that Joe Biden was giving a presentation in front of an anti-gun group the same day? That is
it couldn't
be more interesting.
Everything they do is crazy, mixed up, destroying the country. And here's another good one. Today, I'm listening to the news in Channel 8. You know, even our local stations are liberal. I hate to sit there because they say, look at this. The gas prices are going down. It's going to be $2.88 a gallon because of the pump. Why don't the morons say, the idiot just let more out of our national reserve? We're on empty now.
Yeah, right about that. Is it all the way down to empty now?
Let me tell you something. If anything happens here right now, they better get the electric tanks, the electric fighters, and the electric everything else out, because we have nothing to take care of our own problems here.
Yeah. People have to continue going to the gas station all the way up to November. They have to continue going into the grocery store all the way up to November. So the economy and the cost of everything is not going to leave when it comes time to vote. Now, I want to mention the fact that now, believe it or not, and I think you'll believe it, Donald Trump is competitive in the state of Minnesota. The latest poll from the local media in Minnesota says that Trump is only a couple of percentage points below Joe Biden in the presidential race. So we got Virginia, which is too close to call. We now have Minnesota, which is becoming competitive. We have Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, and Michigan also that are now within the hunt. And if Trump takes a majority of those states, he's in.
Paul, this is all proof of what I said earlier. If you want to get the people, get them in the pocket. That's where they hurt. This is just like a judge. When you go in front of a judge, if he knows you don't have no money and you can't do anything, you committed a crime, he's putting you in jail. But if he knows you come from a family that's got money and you get in trouble, he's going to throw the fines against you like crazy because he knows hurting you in the pocket. And that's just what they're doing. That's why Trump's going to landslide this election, Paul. It's all about the pocket.
Now, and we were talking about this a little earlier with Ed. Hunter Biden is going to come before the judge for whatever penalty that he's going to have to pay for being, you know, in possession of a gun and owning a gun and going after a gun while being addicted to drugs. Do you think there is any chance that he gets any kind of jail time from this judge in Wilmington, Delaware?
He's going to get a 30-day suspended sentence. See you later.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get nothing else, Paul. You know, like I said, this kid is worth $220 million today. Where did that money come from? He's never done anything in his life.
No, but you forget he sold artwork.
Yeah, I know. He sold artwork. And I'll tell you what else really irked the heck out of me, Paul. The other day, did you see the video of Joey Biden celebrating his Juneteenth celebration at the White House?
Yes, he was very animated. Not.
I'm not even worried about him. Look what the rest of the world's seen. They've seen the black man dressed up in a sequin dress dancing next to our vice president and our president. They wonder why we're the laughing stock of the world, Paul. Come on.
But I thought Joe Biden had good rhythm when everybody was dancing around
him. He had no rhythm. He stood there like a zombie. Like he said, he was raised in a black church, baloney. He's got no rhythm.
It's actually elder abuse.
There's no question about it.
His
wife should be put away.
Whatever they pumped into him for that State of the Union address, they sucked out of him before the celebration yesterday. Because he looked
like a cadaver.
He reminded me of when you go to the nursing home on July 4th and you pull old grandpa out of the home and take him out back and let him watch the fireworks and stands there and just has a look on his face and that's it.
It was really actually kind of scary and sad at the same time.
He didn't say anything. He just stood there.
Did you guys happen to see what's going on in Europe right now? Germany and France, old Macron is crapping his pants because the right wing has moved in on him.
There's a conservative
and
movement.
England. That's right.
You're right.
That's right. Okay?
Yep. You're right.
And the same thing is going to happen here, Paul, and it's going to be a landslide. People are fed up with this baloney. And like I said, what took the cake for me is the video that they showed the world the other day of our White House with our president dancing with us, or standing next to the dancing sequenced man. I would love to see the look on Putin's face watching that one.
Yeah. This is the most bizarre administration we have ever seen in our lifetime. Go ahead.
Do you remember some that mocked Putin for riding a horse with no shirt on?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And now they're going
to... I thought he was trying to do his own version of Lady Godiva.
Go ahead. But to show what we showed yesterday. Who's the one in Biden's cabinet that's the transgender that...
Which one? The admiral in charge of health and human services?
I think that's what you're talking about. Yes.
Hold a straight face when that person is on there talking.
All I can tell you is there is a certain term for a man dressed as a woman that does not look like a woman, and there's a picture of him next to that term.
Yeah, I just call it sick. That's just me.
Yeah.
But it's disgusting, Paul. The whole world is seeing this. I'm surprised we haven't been invaded yet or attacked. Now's the perfect time. We got no gas. We got a bunch of idiots running the country.
I've got another story that's local here in the state of Florida that I wanted to mention to you regarding, by the way, transgenders. So all I got to do is find it here. Bear with me while we're... there is a federal judge that has decided that... Where is it? That Ron DeSantis and the legislature cannot impose their will when it comes to stopping these surgeries for people that are under the age of 18. Here it is.
And something about hormone.
I found it finally.
Too.
Yes, a federal judge has ruled that the state government's rules on transgender treatments for children are unconstitutional. This is U.S. District Judge Robert Hinkle. He, by the way, was appointed by a Democrat, Bill Clinton. He has ruled against the state regulation in a decision in which he asserted that restricting kids' access to transgender procedures was an act of animus. Animus, he said. Hinkle, appointed by Bill Clinton, said, quote, gender identity is real. Those whose gender identity does not match their natal sex often suffer gender dysphoria. The widely accepted standard of care calls for appropriate evaluation and treatment. In other words, this guy's all for changing your gender or your whatever you want to call it before you've reached the age of 18.
Now, you know, Paul, what I got to say about that? As long as I don't have to pay for it with my tax money, and as long as the insurance companies don't have to pay it out of medical insurance to raise what I have to pay premiums because of this, let them do what they want. They want to ruin their lives, let them go for it. If their parents are stupid enough to let them pay for it.
Well, and the thing is, of course, that eventually it seeps its way into payouts by the taxpayers. But DeSantis signed a bill into law last year that prohibited anybody under 18 from undergoing sex reassignment surgery or taking sex hormones to treat gender dysphoria. I mean, this is common sense, of course, but and it passed in both houses of Congress by large majorities. Anyway, just to finish on this, DeSantis says, and his press secretary says, they plan to appeal that decision.
Oh, they should. But look at both of our systems passed that law. Why should one man be able to change it?
Exactly right. My friend, it is always a pleasure. You make too much sense, Andrew. You know that. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. I will be seeing you a little bit later today. And as always, thank you so much, my friend.
You take care, guys. Be good.
All right, and the same to you. There he goes, the Master Barber. All righty. We're going to take our break when we come back. Among other things, the top 10 U.S. cities with the most affordable restaurants.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
For years, we've been telling you that Andrew's Master Barbershop is the premier men's barbershop in Tampa Bay. Tops in great haircuts, tops in price. Well, now that it's summertime, Andrew and the gang have brand new hours. They're now open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6. So give them a try, men. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, guys. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Wednesday. Middle of the week. And by the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the wonderful Great Tan Talk Radio Network. And we are always so appreciative when you find time to listen with us. However, if you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, all you got to do is go to our website anytime you want and click on the podcast button up there. Ed has got all of our shows on tape, so you can listen to any show you want at your leisure. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look for that podcast button and away you go. Ed, before we get into our top 10, a couple of sports items I wanted to talk with you about. First of all, Caitlin Clark was snubbed on the Olympic women's basketball team. She is the greatest thing to happen to women's basketball that I have ever heard of. Do you think it is right, and is there a chance that they will reconsider?
I'm one of the people that don't think she got snubbed. I don't think that she's done enough to be on the team. I mean, you have to take the best players that are there. Is she the top 12 in the league? No. Is she the potential to be the top 12? Absolutely. But if you do that, then it's favoritism. So I don't believe she was snubbed. I don't believe that.
There's not enough time for her to prove her medal.
I mean, she's doing great things. She's not leading the league or anything like that. I mean, she's drawing attendance to play. That's fine. But on the court, I don't think she's the best player.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a good answer. All right, and this makes me weep. The Rays were down quite a bit going into the ninth inning last night against my beloved Chicago Cubs. What happened?
Well, they got lucky and snapped the five-game losing streak is what happened. They were down 2-1 in the ninth and a couple of base hits. Tied it, and then there was a walk-off.
They had a four-run ninth inning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they ended up winning over the the Cubs. So that's what it takes. It takes a Chicago team to come in.
Well, they're going to lose the next two against Chicago anyway.
You and I are both fatalists when it comes to our own teams. That's what the truth is right now. Let's face it.
I'm not impressed by the Rays at all.
You're not, huh?
No.
Well, I'm not impressed with the White Sox.
Now you have management bitching about the salaries.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Now, the rates are normally one of the lowest.
He actually went and spent a little bit more than usual, and they're worse than usual now.
Oh.
So he's complaining on that. Okay. Well, maybe if you didn't have so many players winding up on injured reserve with hangnails and stuff like that, you know.
You think they're a bunch of cryberries? Crybabies on the
Suck it up.
All right. That sounds good to me. All right, Ed. Time for you to slide over to the drums. We've been talking about food recently, which is one of my favorite subjects. And this one is from the Cookie Rookie. And it's the top 10 U.S. cities for the most affordable restaurants. Mm. So we can plan our trips to go see some of these cities, Ed. So here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is actually a huge tie, so I'm just going to tell you that for about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 cities are tied at $80. I'm going to that means that you can go for a three-course meal for two people to these cities' restaurants, and you can get a meal for $80 at this rate. And here are the cities: Jacksonville, Florida; Oklahoma City, Oklahoma; Indianapolis, Indiana; Phoenix, Arizona; Charlotte, North Carolina; Houston, Texas; Dallas, Texas; Nashville, Tennessee; and one of your favorite cities, Denver, Colorado. $80. $80 for a three-course meal for two people. Okay.
Now that's what they bring the salad out first.
I think so. And then, it's a sit-down. It's not where you go to the counter.
No. I'm not saying that. I sit down all the time.
Yeah.
But it involves dessert, too. I never have dessert in
a restaurant. No, I don't either anymore.
Never.
Yeah. I agree. And I don't either. I don't think most people do.
No.
It used to be a staple. All right. So that leads us to number 9. San Antonio, Texas. Mm. You know what a three-course meal for two people cost? $78. Number 6. A three-way tie for number 6. For $75 for a three-course meal for two people, you can go to Philadelphia, Louisville, Kentucky, and Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. You can lose your money in Las Vegas at the slot machines and on the crap tables, but you'll get a good meal.
Hmm.
All right? All right. And now a tie for number 4. And this is for $70. Okay, and again, three-course meal for two people, $70 out of your wallet. I wonder if that includes the tip and the and the tax. Anyway, Columbus, Ohio, and Detroit, Michigan. Are you ready to go to Detroit and spend $70?
No.
No? Okay. And, all right, number 3. Hey, one of my old hometowns, Memphis, Tennessee, is number 3, and it's $65. For a three-course meal for two. All right. Number 2. El Paso, Texas. On to El Paso. You'll spend $62 for a three-course meal for two.
A lot of tacos.
Yeah. Probably right. A lot of Mexican food down there. All right, Ed. What do you, I'm not going to ask you to name the city. That's too small. It's too hard. What's the state that you go to for a $60 meal for two people?
Say it's about Georgia.
Okay. That's a very good guess, but it ain't right. It's Texas. It's Fort Worth, Texas. Mm. So go to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, get yourself a $60 three-course meal for two people, and you're going to be very happy. Put on a cowboy hat. Maybe, wear your boots.
Maybe beef is cheaper in Texas. I don't know.
It could be.
It's right there. You know,
yeah. There's a lot of steer running around. You might be right about that. All right. Thank you so very much. We're going to be back on Friday. In the meantime, be careful out there, and remember, freedom works.